Thank you for joining me again today. Yesterday, which was the first day ever in the history of this broadcast, we began as I shared with you three convictions that I have about our time together. These were, first, that the Bible is my source for telling you who God is. The Bible is my source. Second, I cannot know everything there is to know about God, because God has not revealed everything to me. And third, Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ is man, so that Jesus teaches us everything we need to know about God and ourselves. You'll find as you listen that these convictions will come through repeatedly. Now today I want to share with you something I just accept to be true, and then we're going to move right into the Bible. As you listened to me yesterday, it would be fair if you said, wow, this guy must just accept that if the Bible says it, then it is true. And you are absolutely correct. I believe that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And whatever God says is true. So since the Bible is God speaking, that makes the Bible true. And you might say, well then defend the authenticity of this Bible of yours and state your case for the Bible. Show us, demonstrate to us, and prove to us that the Bible is a credible document for truth. And I will. I'll get there. Tune in. Keep listening. I'll speak to the absolute truth of the scriptures soon enough. But I will not start there. Why? I won't start there because the Bible itself doesn't start there. I mean, you would think God would begin his book about himself with a major defense for why he is God and why what he says in these pages is the truth about God and about the world, and especially about persons. God, being God, had to know that people down through the ages would question, attack, dissect, and deny his word. He had to. So then why wouldn't God start on page one, in paragraph one, with a defense of his word? Why doesn't he list out all of his counterarguments to the arguments that people have made in the past? And that people make today arguments for why the Bible is not really the perfect, inerrant, that is, without error, and authoritative word of God. Here's why. Apparently, God doesn't see himself as needing to defend himself. He simply lays out who he is. He starts at the beginning and narrates his own story. God self-reveals. And then anticipates that you and I will take what he says about himself and we will either accept him or reject him. God is matter of fact. God is what you see is what you get. God is perfectly comfortable within his own perfection. God is not begging us, pleading with us on hands and knees to bow to him. God is saying, this is who I am. He shows no signs of fretting or worrying or being in any way bothered by possible rejection. And likewise, he doesn't think of our acceptance as credit given to us for how smart we are for figuring him out. We do not figure God out. We are confronted by him and then decide. I accept the one who confronts me, or I reject the one who confronts me. It's that straightforward. And this is why he doesn't start with a long and intricate defense of the Bible, and so neither will I. I am not saying that God will not defend his word. I am only saying that God does not begin there. And so how does he begin? Listen to the Bible again at the beginning. Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God. Let's pause there. Four words. In the beginning, God. I invite you to focus with me on the word God and notice that God is. The Bible opens with the premise that God is. That means that God exists. It's important to your understanding of the Bible that at the start, God presents himself as existing. To say anything at all about God is to say that he does indeed exist. And if you accept that God exists, then what is left is for you to define the God who exists. But if you deny the existence of God, then you have nothing at all to say about God, because for you, God is not. Instead of God is not, or God isn't. Why then is so much said today about God by those who do not believe in the existence of God? Have you noticed this? Once a person says there is no God, then that ought to really close the matter. To me, people who say there is no God exclude themselves from a conversation about who God is right at the start, for you do not acknowledge that God is. So that my primary task is not so much to convince you that God exists, as it is to define for people who believe in the existence of God, who that God actually is. What then will be of primary interest to me is the person who accepts that God is. God exists. Now, will I pay any attention to those of you who claim that God does not exist? Yes. As a secondary task, this program will engage you, because most of you hold that decision untenably. It is indefensible to hold that God does not exist. To say there is no God is incapable of being defended, as we shall see. God is unequivocal, unmistakable, indisputable. God simply presents himself, here I am. And what is left for every person to decide is that either I accept God exists and I will read on to find out who this God is, or I will reject the existence of God and therefore I will dismiss the Bible. I do not think a person reads the Bible through and then rejects the existence of God. I think a person rejects the existence of God and then does not read the Bible. Certainly, he or she does not read the Bible through from the start to the finish, because when one actually reads the biblical text, one becomes convinced that God is and who God is. Now, I grant you, that doesn't necessarily mean that a person who's read the Bible thoroughly and cover to cover accepts God for themselves. But a careful reading would then be a knowing rejection, an informed rejection, a conclusive rejection based on the facts as God himself presents them. Okay, as we have understood thus far, the Bible opens with the premise that God is. That means that God exists. And therefore, we should ask, who is God? Who is God? As we begin to answer that question, I want to take the rest of this week to say more about existence. So with the time we have remaining today, let's get started. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. The name God tells us that God is one. There is one God. Notice the name God. Not gods, plural, but God, singular. God is one. He is all that exists in the beginning. There is no other divine being. There are not multiple gods, only G-O-D, God. And what else is missing? Or shall I ask, who else is missing? We are. There are no human persons, just God. God exists, only God. There are no other gods and no human persons. You'll see why this is important by the end of the week. Now, when we engage our minds here a little bit and use human logic, someone will ask, how did God get there? This is a very human question, and it's worthwhile that we explore it. People have a very difficult time understanding how someone or something can exist without first being created. After all, every object you own was created. No thing just suddenly appears. Your radio didn't just poof arrive in your car on your kitchen counter. The car you drive was created. The home you live in was created. And you and I did not just appear. We were created. We were made alive in the womb of a woman. That woman, known as mom, gave birth to us. We came out of the warmth of the womb and cried like crazy as we entered this cold existence. And now we exist. By the way, I don't think that when a baby cries, those are tears of joy. The tears are better translated as, "Put me back in, please." Well, we can go back through the genealogies of the various generations that preceded us, and we will find that every time a member of our family came into existence, it was the result of this same creative process. The sound-minded among us know that we did not just appear. We were created. Everything is created that exists. That's why many of you will have trouble accepting that God can exist without first being created. Indeed, you may deny God's existence on this very point. And yet, we are learning today from the opening words of the Bible that God does just exist. And so back to this question, how did God get there in the beginning? We're going to begin our answer tomorrow, so come back. And if you would, invite someone to tune in with you. Maybe there's a person in your life who you've had conversation with concerning origins and the beginning. Most of us have heard someone say, "I believe God exists, but..." Text that person, call that person, tweet them, connect with them on Facebook, and ask them to be a part of our conversation tomorrow on this same station at this same time, right here on WEZE at 4:30. As for you, give some thought to how you'd answer the question before us. How did God get there in the beginning? What do you think? You might put your thoughts in an email and send it along to me. And then please join us again tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is.